Good morning, good morning. I'm going to pray with us first, because that's what I do. I'm going to pray. Jesus, thank you so much for today. Thank you for these people who are here and those that are not. Be in these words, let the meditation in my heart and the words in my mouth be glorifying to you. Help us to hear you and see you today. And the things that are not of you, Jesus, let just fall away and be forgotten. But help us to be present in all the ways that you are present with us today. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. I'm going to start off with a couple stories. Actually, it's three stories. Because at my true self, at my best self, I am a storyteller at heart. Right? So I'm going to tell you some stories. And these are all these stories are going to piece together and lay the foundation for what I'm talking about today. Okay? They're all going to piece together and lay the foundation for what I'm talking about today. When I was a kid, I was maybe 4, 5, or 6. I was a young kid. My brother had a TV in his room. And some days when he would let me watch TV with him. And it was awesome, right? My big bro loved it. And I remember there were some days where I'd be watching TV with him. And we would also be seeing, like, the music video Thriller come on. And the music video Thriller by Michael Jackson was literally terrifying to me. Like, the zombies, and it was, like, dark music, and, like, the creepy laughing voice. Like, I hated it, but my brother loved it. And so, like, I would always beg him, like, Joe, please, turn it up, please. And sometimes he would, sometimes he wouldn't. But I remember this one specific day, I went in his room and I was curled next to him and watching TV and the music video comes on and I'm going, Joe, please stop, just turn it off. And he looks into me and he says, Shauna, don't you know that bad things don't happen in daylight? And it was in the middle of the day, right? We're watching this music video, it's the middle of the day, watching TV. And he says, don't you know bad things don't happen in daylight? And I heard his words and I believed them and I clung to them when I was a kid. When I was having like nightmares or bad dreams, I would remember my brother's words that bad things don't happen in daylight. So really, you just got to wait out the darkness. You got to wait out the bad stuff because daylight is coming and no bad things happen in daylight. When I was a freshman in high school, I was in some of the darkest days of my adolescence. And I don't say this in a dramatic way. I don't say this in like a flippant way. I don't say this to be exaggerative for the story. I really was at 15 in some of the darkest days I've experienced. And by that, I mean that at 15, I was convinced that I had seen what I needed to see in this world. I was convinced that I had experienced what I needed to experience in this world. And there was nothing left. And I was at the end of my rope. And I was ready to call it quits at 15 years old. Right, and there was this December morning. It was a lot of layers. It was all these layers. My parents, my family, all the stuff that you're trying to figure out when you're a teenager. And I remember this one December morning. I walk into my first period class, and it's math class. And I hate math, but it's fine, right? I walk into my first period class, and I sit at my desk, which is right by the window. And I'm looking out into the cold December morning, and it's gloomy, and it's dark. And I remember thinking, it'd be so much easier if I wasn't here. It'd be so much easier if I wasn't here. And my first period teacher walks over to me like he did every day. And he goes, Tosh. He called me Tosh. Don't get me started. He goes, Tosh, how are you doing today, my friend? And I remember saying to him, Mr. Spurline, today's not a good day. And he looks out at the window that I'm looking out at. And he says, you know, Tosh, things are looking up. Things are getting better. He's looking at the same December cold, dark, and gloomy morning, and he still says, you know, Tosh, things are looking up. Things are getting better. When me at 15 was at the end of my rope, Mr. Spurline said, things are looking up. Things are getting better. A couple weeks ago, I call my best friend, and it's late at night, relatively. It's about 11:15 at night. And I say, hey, what's up? Where are you? She goes, I'm at work. I'm getting off work. Why? She's like, I need to come see you. I need to come see you. Stay where you are. I just need a hug. She's like, okay, weirdo. So I go, and I'm talking. I'm saying some things, kind of dancing around why I need a hug. And finally, she's like, are you okay? I was like, yeah, don't worry about me. Like, I just need a hug. Is that so weird? So she gives me a hug, and my 5'5 best friend throws her arms around me, and I start sobbing. I start crying and weeping, and these cries are racking my body to the point where I throw myself into a panic attack that I've not experienced in a very, very long time. I can't breathe very well. I'm hyperventilating, all these things. I'm spinning, and things are out of control, and things are chaotic. And my friend who is holding me says these words to me. She says, breathe. You're going to be okay. In the midst of my spinning, in the midst of my chaos, in the midst of my crying and my sobbing, my friend who is holding me says, breathe. You're going to be okay. Breathe, you're going to be okay. And there's a theme to all these stories. I don't know if you've caught on to it yet. There's a theme in all these stories that someone in my life, at whatever point it was, believed things for me that I couldn't believe for myself. Someone in my life has believed something for me when I couldn't believe it for myself. My brother believed for me that daylight was coming and no bad things happened in daylight when I couldn't believe that for myself. Mr. Spurline believed that things were going to get better when they were dark and they were gloomy and it was at my rope's end. Things were getting better when I couldn't believe that for myself. My friend who held me believed that I was going to be okay when I was not. And that's what I'm talking about today. As we are in the season of Advent, Advent at its core is us waiting, right? It's waiting for Jesus. All right, we're taking on this posture of waiting. And I'm waiting too. I'm waiting too. I'm waiting for something more. And I'm saying these things out of vulnerability. I'm saying these things out of transparency. But it just seems different. Because you've heard me say before that I will believe this for you until you can do it for yourself, right? You've heard me say that before. This is not anything new, but it's different today. Okay, it's different today. And that's what I'm talking about. I'm talking about waiting in these places of darkness, holding these things in tension, saying and naming that it's dark, it sucks, but also naming that there are people who believe that daylight is coming, that things will get better, and you will be okay when you are not. I'm talking about tensions, and I'm holding them today. I'm going to name them today, and I'm going to be very, very transparent with you today, and I'm trusting this community in doing that. Now, my root scripture that I'm in today is Isaiah 9. Isaiah 9, 1 through 7. And it's we just read it for a call to worship. And it's a beautiful passage of hope and light and all these things. But Isaiah 9 doesn't make any sense if you don't know the context of what happened in chapters 7 and 8. Right? These things don't make sense unless you know why there's a sense of urgency for hope. Why there's a sense of urgency for more. Why there's a sense of urgency for someone to save these people who are in despair. And that's why Jesus makes sense to me, right? Jesus makes sense to me. Because of all the suffering and all the stories that happened in the Old Testament, it makes sense why Jesus' life and birth and death and resurrection was such a paramount thing that happened, that finally this deep breath can come about, that someone has come to save us because of what we've gone through, what we waited for. And that's what I'm talking about today. So I'm going to try and give you the best context I can give you in the next, like, about 5 minutes of chapter 7 and 8, what happened in 7 and 8. Because that makes sense of what happened in chapter 9, okay? So 7 and 8, King Ahaz is in charge, and he's like this king, and he's reigning. And there are no good kings, but, I mean, whatever, all right? And there's war and destruction that's impending, okay? These people want to take over Judah and take Jerusalem. And King Ahaz is like, no. He probably did it more dramatically, right? But that's how I imagine. He's like, no. I'm sorry. So I want to go back and say no, but that's what's happening, right? And Isaiah, this prophet, he's like, hey, I know that things are going to be really bad. That I know people want to take you over. I know these things, but trust in the Lord. Stand firm in your faith, or don't stand at all. And Ahaz is like, okay, whatever that means. And he's like, and Isaiah says, you know, ask the Lord for a sign. And Ahaz is like, I know how that works. I'm not going to test the Lord, so I'm not going to do that. So Isaiah goes, okay. You didn't ask for it, but I'm going to tell you anyways. I'm going to tell you that I know in the midst of your destruction, I know in the midst of your fear, I know in the midst of these things that you're afraid of, that someone's going to come and save you. Someone's going to come restore you. Someone's going to come redeem you. Someone is coming to liberate you. And this is what it's going to look like. There's going to be a young woman who's going to bear a child. She's going to name him Emmanuel. Right? And this child's going to know how to choose goodness and refuse evil. This child's going to eat curds and honey, which is, contextually speaking, the food of the people in poverty. This baby's going to be born into poverty, and it's going to subvert the empire, and things are going to be right. You're going to walk in the light when this child is born. And Ahaz is like, okay, cool, nice. That's paraphrase. Not actually in the scripture, but I assume that's what he might have said. That happens in chapter 7. Chapter 8 is detailing how these people are just refusing to believe Isaiah's words. Isaiah says, there's someone that's coming to save us, Emmanuel, which translates to God with us. God with us is, and I know he's saying, he's naming these things, he's naming these tensions. There's going to be darkness, there's going to be despair, you're going to be hurt, you're going to be in pain. All these things are happening, but Emmanuel, God with us, is with us and will be with us. This baby's going to save us and restore us and redeem us and liberate us. All of these things. And these people are not trusting the Lord. But Isaiah believes for them that they will be saved when they can't believe it for themselves. Right? When they can't believe it for themselves. Chapter 8. And this is, in chapter 8, the last verse, 22, it says this. And they will look to the earth, but behold, distress and darkness, the gloom of anguish, and they will be thrust into darkness. Isaiah recognizes and holds that these people are going to be thrust into darkness while also saying that Emmanuel, God with us, is with us and will be with us. Can you trust that? And then something powerful happens. This is where chapter 9 comes in. Okay, that's where chapter 9 comes in. And Isaiah does something here that is so powerful because he begins to speak in this prophetic past tense language. In the midst of their suffering, in the midst of their pain, he begins to speak in this prophetic past tense language, and it says this. Opens up in chapter 9. But there will be no gloom for her who was in anguish. In the former time, he brought into contempt the land of Zebulun, the land of Naphtali. But in the latter time, he has made glorious the way of the sea, the land beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the nations. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in the land of deep darkness, on them light has shone. You have multiplied the nation. You have increased its joy as they rejoice before you, as the joy of the harvest, as they are glad when they divide the spoil. For the yoke of his burden and the staff of his shoulder and the rod of his oppressor, you have broken as in the day of Midian, for every boot and the trampling warrior and battle tumult. And every garment rolled in blood will be burned for the defile. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be on his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of the government and peace there will be no end on the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it with justice and righteousness from this time forth and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord will do this. For this time forth, forevermore, the zeal of the Lord will do this. Do you hear what just happened? Do you hear what just happened? Where he names darkness, he names suffering, he names these things. But he also says in that, I know darkness is real, but it's not your full reality. I know darkness is true, but it's not the full truth, because you will walk in the light after experiencing darkness. You will walk in the light after being thrust in the deep darkness. Do you believe me? Do you hear what I'm saying? That Emmanuel, God with us, is with us in the suffering, in the waiting, in the pain, in the places that have broken us. But you will walk in the light. Isaiah holds these things for these people who do not believe it for themselves. Do you hear what I'm saying? Do you hear what I'm saying? I think to think that one day things can get better when you are at your rope's end, your wit's end, to think that one day you will be okay when you are not right now, to think that one day you will walk in the light after experiencing darkness, is the most ridiculous thing that anyone could ever do in their life. It's the most ridiculous thing. Like, it's so silly. It's so unfathomable to think that one day things will get better when you are literally, when rock bottom rises up to meet you. To think that one day things will be better is so ridiculous, but that's exactly what hope feels like. Hope is silly, and hope is ridiculous, and hope is just unfathomable, but that's exactly what we need. Darkness is real, but it's not our full reality. Darkness is true, but it's not the full truth. And do you hear what I'm saying? That God is with us in the midst of all these places. That God is in the midst of all these places. And I think of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr.'s his speech, I Have a Dream speech. Right? He casted vision for a world he would never see. He casted vision for a world he would never see. To think that one day things can get better when they're honestly not. How can someone believe that? But he believed it for all these people. Do you hear what I'm saying? I'm getting fired up, but I'm not going to apologize, because this is the stuff that's powerful, right? This is stuff that I can't stop talking about, because hope is not something that we can just choose not to embrace. To think that one day things can get better is so ridiculous, so silly, but it's true, and we need it. It's a necessity. And you've heard me say before that I never want my teachings and the way that I preach to ever be theoretical, right? I never want it to be theoretical, but I always want it to be in action, and it moves us towards who we are and who we're called to be as people who are seeking Jesus, right? You've heard me say that before. And so I'm saying this, and not in a posture that I've gone through this, or I've experienced this before, or it's so theoretical to me, I can't even imagine it. I'm saying this because I'm going through this right now. I'm experiencing the darkness, I'm experiencing the pain, I'm experiencing the places that have broken me, and I'm choosing out of desperation to dream of better days than today. I am choosing out of desperation to dream of better days than today, because that's exactly what hope is. It's not theoretical. I've not gone through this before. I'm going through it now, and I'm choosing this community to let you be part of it. Not that you have anything to do with it. Not that, Not that you have anything you have to do for it, because I'm choosing to let you in. And so I will wait in the pain, and I will wait in the silence, and I will wait in the places that have broken me, and I will dream of better days than today. Because darkness is real, but it's not the whole reality. And darkness is true, but it's not the whole truth. So I will wait and I will dream of better days. And I'll dream of the days where healing is real and tangible and love is not just a feeling. And I'll dream of the days where people don't have to worry if they're too broken or too dirty to be loved, to be seen, to be heard, to be known by a God so good who created them in the image of goodness. I will wait in my silence. I will wait in my pain. I will wait in the places that have broken me. And I will dream of the days where racism is dead. And I really do mean when racism is dead. Or people who are minorities or people of color do not feel discriminated against, or they're not systematically oppressed by what's going on, that they don't feel like they're a threat to society because of the skin color that they have. And while I'm dreaming that racism is dead, I'm gonna take sexism down with it, because I believe I'm dreaming of the days where women are valued and they're shown that they are worthy enough, that they're leaders, not because they embody masculine qualities, that they have a deeper voice or a masculine build, but because they're good enough, they're strong enough, they're brave enough, they are the perfect person for the job. I'm dreaming of the days where they can say, I don't feel safe, and people will just believe them, because why wouldn't you? Why wouldn't you? I'm dreaming of the days where protecting clean water isn't just what the liberal activists do, but it's what everybody does, because somehow everybody deserves clean water. That just doesn't make sense to me. I'm waiting in my pain. I'm waiting in my brokenness. I'm waiting in the places that have broken me, and I'm dreaming of the days where the church really is a safe place, and I'm not just talking about safety pins, safe friends. I'm talking about really safe, where the doors are wide open, and we are the hands and feet of Jesus Christ, and we are going in the streets, and we're telling people, and we're showing people, and we're embracing people, and letting them know that there is more than enough room at the table of Jesus Christ, because you are good enough, you are strong enough, you are brave enough. All of these things that I wish that were true. All of these things that I wish that were true. And in my own pain, out of my own vulnerability, I'm going to take it a step further. In my own places that have broken me, I'm dreaming of the days where someone like me can feel like I belong, that I'm not just a token to add a diversity to the community, that my story matters, and maybe that I do too, because in the places of darkness and the places that have broken me, I am choosing to cling to that someone is believing that it'll get better when I can't do it for myself. Do you hear what I'm saying? And I'm naming these tensions, I'm saying these dreams, but I'm also saying this, that Emmanuel is with us, is with me in these places of dreaming. I don't want that to go unnamed. I don't want that to go missed. That Emmanuel, God with us, is truly with us in the stuff that sucks and also in the light. Do you hear what I'm saying? The thing about it is that these people in Isaiah 8, 7 and 8 heard the promise of walking in the light. But Isaiah never gives them a timeline of how long they have to wait. Right? They never give them a timeline. So if I was these people, I'd be like, oh, maybe like next week, maybe. Maybe next month this baby will be born and save us from our immediate threat and impending death. Maybe next year. Maybe next 10 years. These people wait and they wait and they wait and they wait, and generation after generation, generation after generation, these people wait for 700 years. They wait for restoration. They wait for peace. They wait for walking in the light from the time of Isaiah to the time of the birth of Jesus, Emmanuel, God with us. These people waited. These people waited. And they clung to the fact that one day things will get better. That one day they will walk in the light. One day things will get better. So I'll sit in my darkness, and I'll sit in the disorientation, and I also sit and rest in the embrace of Emmanuel, God with us. Do you hear me name intentions? Things that suck and things that don't. Because God is in our waiting. Emmanuel is in our waiting. I'm believing this. I have to believe this, right? I have to believe that God is with us in the pain and the places that break us. Because God is. Do Do you hear what I'm saying? So I'll wait in the darkness, but I'll also be waiting in the arms of Emmanuel. And I'll dream of better days than today. And we can let people believe for us that one day things will get better when we can't do that for ourselves. We can let people believe for us that we will be okay. We can't believe that for ourselves. We can let people believe for us that daylight is coming when we cannot believe that for ourselves. And then the day will come when we're ready to fight again. But today I'm choosing to rest in the embrace of Emmanuel, the God with us, the God of hope to the hopeless, the God of healing to the hurt, the God of light to the darkness. I am choosing these things because I have no other choice. In the places of pain, in the places of hopelessness, in the places of hurt, in the places that have broken us, hear me when I say, better days are coming. And I'm willing to wait, and I'm willing to hope, and I'm willing to dream. But for now, I'm just going to rest in the embrace of Emmanuel, the God with us. And I'll believe for you today that things will get better. And I'll believe for you today that things will be okay. And I'll believe for you today that daylight is coming. But I need you to believe that for me too. Do you hear what I'm saying? I need you to believe it for me too. Because just because we're pastors and just because we have this degree or just because we're up here doing this thing does not mean that we have it all figured out, because that's not true. God is with us in our waiting. God is with us in the silence. God is with us in the places that have broken us. Wait and dream and hope of days that are better than today.